Amen. Jesus Christ, you may be seated, is coming to town. Amen. It is, if it is true that an idle mind is the devil's workshop, then I'm going to say that a busy life is the devil's headquarters. Amen. Because he keeps us busy, and it's his strategy to keep us from focusing on whatever God wants us to focus on. So he keeps us busy because he knows that Jesus Christ is coming again. He knows that Jesus Christ is coming to Austin. He knows that Jesus Christ is coming to town. And the aim of our sermon is for us to remember that more than Santa is coming back this Christmas, more than Santa is coming to town. So therefore, we need to be time conscious. Amen. As we celebrate each holiday, we need to be conscious because we are waiting for his return. Amen. Are you waiting in expectation of Jesus? It's his coming. We don't like to wait, especially when we don't know the details. Amen. You maybe had a serviceman over for some appliances and they didn't tell you that exactly what time they were coming, but you said, I'll be there between 8 and 3. Amen. And that's a mighty big window to wait, because it kind of keeps you guessing. After you hear that, what you conclude basically is that the smartest thing to do is just to stay ready. Amen. Amen. You need to make sure that you, because you don't know when. You don't know when. And so therefore, you really, and that's the way it is when we think about Santa. Man, when I used to wait on him to come and bring presents, but I never could catch him. Amen. Because I knew the day, but I didn't know the hour. Amen. So I just kept on waiting to see if Santa was going to show up. And normally I never did catch him. Amen. He would beat me, leave the present, and leave. Amen. Amen. And the challenge was that we just didn't know when he was coming. And that always puts us in a dilemma when we don't know when. And the same principle applies in a way with Jesus, because we know that he is coming, but we don't know when. And this scripture makes it plain that Jesus Christ is coming to Austin. We don't know when, but we do know that he is in fact coming. And as you look at these teachings in the Gospel of Matthew, this book is written by Matthew. It composed of narratives and discourses. Narratives reflect what Jesus did. Discourses reflect what Jesus said. It's a body of teaching that is authoritative on some subject, a discourse. Whether it was a narrative dealing with what Jesus did. We know Jesus did miracles of nature. We know that Jesus did miracles and he raised people from the dead. We know that Jesus cast out demons. We know about what Jesus did. But these teachings are what Jesus said, his teachings, his doctrinal teachings, his teaching that were authoritative. So whether you're looking at the Matthenian narratives or you're looking at the doctrinal, from a doctrinal perspective, as we're looking at this morning, we find out that doctrinally Jesus said many things. We know that he taught on the Sermon on the Mountains. He gave forth some authoritative teachings regarding subjects that we ought to live by. The Sermon on the Mount, the sayings of Jesus. We know that Jesus taught different things through his teachings, and this is, of course, the Olivet Discourse, whether you're talking about the Sermon on the Mountain or the Olivet Discourse or other things that Jesus taught. We know that he let us know how life would be and what we need to do to deal with life. And so we study the whole book, and what we find here in Matthew 24 is that Jesus' disciples had gone to him and asked him about the destruction of the temple, and he told them that that the temple is going to be destroyed. And he said, well, they said, tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming, in Matthew 24:4, and the end of the world, the end of the age. Let us know about these things. Could you inform us on these things? And so here we find him teaching in his subsequent passages on the Olivet Discourse, and he comes now, as he has talked to them about the temple, now he is talking to them about his coming, his future coming, that he will be coming back. It's eschatological in its concept, because what it teaches us is that one day Jesus is coming. And when you study eschatology, you're studying the doctrine of last things, the doctrine of the future events, things that are not yet, but they are to come. And although it is very confusing as to when you start applying theology to this text, because it's a very confusing text, and if you are pre-trib or mid-trib or post-trib or premillennial or amillennial or post-millennial, you get into all these different views. But there are some things that we can glean and gain from the concepts of this teaching as we look at Matthew chapter 25. What we find out is, you know the story about the 10 virgins. It is a story that we can't pin everything down in, because it is not allegorical. It does not mean that everything is going to be gleaned from every aspect of the story, but it is a parable. It's a parabolic method that Jesus is using, and it means that it's an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. Although you can't apply everything in it, the truth of the matter is you can't build doctrine out of it. But the truth of the matter is that you can glean some thematic or central concepts from it. And one is that you need to be ready. And so as we look at that, we find this parable of the 10 virgins. You've heard of them, the 10 virgins. Whether you're dealing with biblical numerics and you try to figure out what 10 is, amen, 10 is for completion, 7 is for perfection. But normally when you're dealing with 10, you got 10 toes, 10 hands. You got, amen, whether it's multiples of 10s or half of 10, the concept of 5 plus 5 equals 10, the bottom line is that it is complete. And this represents the complete situation of the world. It's kind of like the Democrats and the Republicans, amen. They split right down the middle, amen. Amen. There will be 5 who will be ready, and there will be 5 who will not. And I don't know what category you fall in, but the truth is Jesus said that's about the way that it is going to be. And so what he says is that he talked about the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of heaven. This represents, according to Dr. Schofield, this represents the general concept. It's the spear of salvation. Some say that the kingdom of God is those who are really saved, but the kingdom of heaven are those trying to get saved. You can have the kingdom of heaven, folk who talk about they going to heaven. The kingdom of heaven is the professors, but the kingdom of God is the possessors. The truth is that even in here, there are some who may claim to name the name of Christ who are professors, and then there are some who are really possessors. Some talking about him, but then others got him. You got to know which category you're in, because it's whether you got him or you don't that determines your destination, where you fit in the future. And so what he does is he says that there were 10 virgins. 5 were wise. 5 were foolish. We find out that they, in verse 3, that one took no oil. 5 didn't take any oil. And amen. 5 took oil. And the 5 that didn't take no oil, we know symbolically speaking that oil is representative of the Holy Spirit. We know it is the Holy Spirit, the oil of the Holy Spirit. that you must have the Holy Spirit. Amen. You can't get to heaven without him. Have I got a witness? The third person of the Trinity. We don't talk a lot about him, but you got to have him. Amen. He's that quiet member of the Trinity that you don't hear a whole lot about, but that's what he decided to do. He just, when he comes, he will not speak of himself. He doesn't bring attention to himself. The Holy Spirit doesn't bring attention to himself. That's the role of his ministry, the ministry of the Holy Spirit. But as we look at this, what we find out is that you must have the Holy Spirit. You must have the anointing, the oil. You must possess the Holy Spirit if you plan to be saved. Doesn't matter if you're Baptist, Catholic, Methodist, Presbyterian, Episcopalian. It doesn't matter if you're neo-charismatic. It doesn't matter what you are, but the truth of the matter is you, when you get through with all of it, you got to be saved. And how do I know that how do I know I'm saved is if I've got the deposit of the Holy Spirit, if I've been sealed by the Holy Spirit in promise. Have I got a witness? I invited him to come into my heart, and the Holy Spirit came in, and he changed me. Amen, amen. Amen, that's what we got to find out. We're going to see as we go through that you don't change, it changes you. And so what we find out is five were wise and five were foolish. One had all, five had all, five didn't. And we know that it says that in verse 5, amen, while the bridegroom tarried, amen, the bridegroom tarried. And that's the thing about it, amen, God, somebody said he may not come when you want him. Amen. He has a way of doing things when he gets ready. Amen. And while he was tarrying, the Bible tells us in verse 5 that they went to sleep. Amen. When you talk about weddings back in biblical times, you begin to find out in ancient the Jewish time that the weddings were held at night. And you find out that when the bridegroom came, he didn't let you know when he was coming. But we know that when he did come, you need to be ready. You need to have your lamps. Amen. There were no street lights. Amen. There were no outdoor lights. Amen. It was dark. And so you had to have your own lamp. You had to have your lamp. And so what happened is we find out that they knew that they needed to have their lamp. And the first thing you need to understand is when it comes to responsibility, this teaches that every person is responsible for his or her spiritual condition. Amen. Each person is responsible for his or her spiritual condition. You are responsible for getting saved. You are responsible for having oil. You are responsible for possessing the Holy Spirit. It's your decision. And that is the condition. It is the area of responsibility because there is the area of requirement. The requirement is you got to have some oil. Amen. You got to have some oil. You got to have some oil. And so if you don't have your oil, amen, and Jesus come and your lamp's not, you're not able to go out and meet him, then you'll get shut out, as we'll see. You got to have, the lamp represents our life. The oil represents the Holy Spirit. Amen. You can be a life, but you can be a lamp, but you don't have to have oil. You can be a lamp, but you don't have to give any light. You can be a lamp, but you don't have to shine. You can have a life, but not be saved. You got to have the Holy Spirit. And that's what happened. And sure enough, at midnight, isn't it funny how Jesus comes when you least expect him? It was unexpected. It was at midnight, according to verse 6. A cry was made. Oh, I'm on my way back. The cry was made. The Bible says that, amen, can everybody say cry? Amen. It says that a cry was made at midnight. And behold, the bridegroom cometh. You ever had that unexpected company that knock on the door? Amen. When you weren't ready to get up yet? Or when you didn't, when you least expected it? Oh, how you scramble through the house trying to get things right and get things ready and get yourself presentable, and they're still knocking. They're ringing the doorbell again. It's kind of like this is just not good. Amen. But the fact is that you got caught. Amen. Unexpected. You got caught unready. Are you ready? Amen. That's a good question. Good place to put that, if you're ready. because you're responsible. And the requirement is that you got to have the Holy Spirit. There are no options. I don't care if you've been baptized. I don't care if you've been baptized. You get baptized, but without the Holy Spirit, you're still not saved. You got to do it in order. You got to get saved, and then you got to get obedient. Then you got to get born again. You got to get baptized. You got to get your Bible. You got to get built. Then you got to get busy getting somebody else saved. Well, the fact of the matter is that you need to know, because it says there is a requirement, and the requirement is that you got to have the Holy Spirit, but he came at midnight. Amen. They were unprepared. Surprise, we're here. What will you be doing when Jesus comes? Most importantly, will you be saved? Will you be ready? And the good thing is, it's good to get ready, but what you need to do is to stay ready. Ever got a witness? Amen. You can't just be ready on Sunday. Amen. Amen. We all ready now. Amen. We looking like Christians, acting like Christians. We where we supposed to be, ain't doing nothing wrong. Amen. But there are times, amen, you got to be always ready, all the time, because we just don't know when. We know that he's coming back, but we don't know when he's coming back. And sure enough, if you're not careful, you're going to get a surprise. At midnight, amen. It got good off into their sleep. Amen. They probably have on their second dream, and then here he comes. Amen. Jesus comes when he gets ready, and he is coming. Amen. I don't know what's going important on your schedule, but you better make sure salvation is one of them at the top of the list. I don't care whatever else you're doing. You better make sure. Amen. Make sure that he don't catch you unsaved. Amen. You need to be ready. Well, he says that you need to be ready because he's going to return. Have I got a witness? You need to be responsible. You need to meet the requirement. You got to be ready because he's going to return. And it may be, it's not going to be when you think that it's going to be. He returned and they were not, and sure enough, we begin to find out that the foolish people in verse 8, They rose up, amen, and foolish said, could you give us some of your oil? Could you give me some of your oil? Amen. You can't borrow salvation. If you saved, I don't care if we sleep in the bed together, you got to be saved on your own. Have I got a witness? I can't share with you my experience. You must have your own experience with Jesus. You must have your own connection with Jesus. I can't say, well, you can have some of my Holy Spirit. No, you've got to know him for yourself. And I can't be able, I won't be able to share with you my Holy Spirit. The fact of the matter is that you got to be prepared yourself. The Spirit cannot be bought. The Spirit cannot be borrowed. Have I got a witness? And you can't wait till Jesus and then try to get somebody else's spirit. Amen, amen. And you're going to be like some of these Christmas shoppers at the last minute. And Jesus knocked on the door, and sure enough, he says that answered, the wise answered and said to him, verse 9, not, it says, not so. Amen. In verse 9, lest there be enough for us and you. Have I got a witness? Amen. I ain't got enough but for myself. But I tell you what you can do. Go get your own. Go buy. Amen. Go to who has it and get and try to. Amen. And that's why you can't be a doctrine out of parables. But in this story, he says that go and get you some. Go find somebody. Go get it. But the truth is that while they were gone, the Bible tells us that the wedding started. And those who were ready in verse 10 went in. I wish I had a witness. They went into the marriage. They were not late. They had their business fixed. They had already started their relationship. Well, the fact of the matter is that it says at the end of verse 10 that the door was shut. Now, while they were gone, they went and tried to borrow something. They said, you ain't getting out. You better go to the store and get you something. So they went down to the store. And while they were gone, and while they were on their way back, the door was already shut. And then, you see, you can't wait till the door closed and try to get it open, because once it's closed, it's shut. That brings finality to the situation. That's conclusive. The door won't be open again. Just like your eyes. Once your eyes are shut, have I got a witness? Amen. I know there are doctrines that teach otherwise, that you can get saved after you die and all that kind of stuff, but it's from hell. The Bible says it is appointed unto man once to die. Forget the purgatory. Forget all of these beliefs, these cultic phenomenons that have been floating around for years. A lot of folk going to be in hell. No, purgatory. Amen. Hebrews 9:27. It's appointed unto man one time to die. And then after the death, you don't get another chance. There's no karma that's going to give you a better life, that you live better in this life. You was a June bug, and you're going to come back now as a beautiful red bird, and you're going to one day come back as a pinto pony. No, you're not going to get better. It's not going to progress. It's going to degress. If you didn't accept Jesus, I don't care how good your karma is. We're not saved by works, no way. That's all they call it. Works ain't going to get you in, and works ain't going to keep you out. There's nothing you can do to make God love you any more than he already does. He done gave his son. He's got to do nothing else. Nothing else to be done. Nothing else left to be done. Well, the fact of the matter is they let the door show, just close on them. And I'm sure they'll be late night shoppers trying to get in. Last minute people. Late. They were late. Amen. And so the door got shut. And then they, of course, tried to get in. Verse 11 said, please open unto us. Open unto us. Lord, Lord. Amen. They called his name twice for emphasis. Lord, Lord, Lord. Amen. But the truth of the matter is that you can call his name two or three or four or five or six times. You should have called him Lord while you could, while your eyes were open. You see, there's be some decisions that you like to make after you die that you won't make before you die. And the truth is that God makes it plain, amen. Some folk just want to wait. Have I got a witness? Stories told, and many preachers have told it about the demons waiting. Amen. They're trying to figure out how they can keep people from getting saved. Maybe we'll come back to that. Lord, give it to me. Well, I can see it now since I'm on it. The truth is, he said, how are we going to keep people from getting saved? He said, well, what we do, we just tell them that there's no God. That way we got them tricked. There's no God. Then the other demon said to the other one, you must have lost your mind. You can't see this beautiful creation. And see how it works, the ecosystem, how things function. One animal eat up another animal, built for that animal. Then one animal calls the other animal to live. And then we got air and oxygen. You can't, and you got trees that allows us to have the necessary to breathe. And the thing, you can't say that there's no God. He said, you know what, that ain't going to work either. No, you're right, that's not going to work. He said, what we'll do, we'll just tell them that there's no hell. That there's no hell. He said, well, that sounds good, but... And there are folk today, by the way, parenthetically, don't believe that there's a hell. But Jesus has never told a lie. And he says there is. You decide. He said, we can't tell them that there's no hell because there are too many wicked folk in the world, and you can't believe that you can be this wicked and be this bad in this world and get away with it. There's got to be a place to judge these people. He said, so no, we can't tell them no hell. He said, well, we won't tell them that there's no God. We won't tell them that there's no hell. But what we'll do is tell them there's no hurry. Yeah, that you can do it tomorrow. That you can procrastinate. That you get to have the best of both worlds. It's not that you're not going to do it. It's not that I'm not going to get saved. I know I ought to be in church. It's not that I'm not going to go get baptized. It's just that I'm going to do it later, and therefore I can have the best of both worlds. One day, but what you didn't think about was that he may come before yet. The Bible says the day that you hear my voice, that's the time that he's speaking to you. And at that point, you need to surrender all. You need to throw your hands up and come out and say, Lord, I surrender all to thee, my blessed Savior. Well, the truth is that he says that, Lord, he says, I'm not going to let you in. Amen. Because I don't know you. Oh, Lord, have mercy. See, God don't know folk that didn't know him until after. In verse 12, he said, he answered and said unto him, let me give you this answer. He said, truly or verily I say unto you, I know you not. Now that leads us to a relationship. No relationship made with Christ. They fooled around and died without having a relationship. Even if you don't like the people at church, get saved. Even if you don't like the preacher, get saved. Go somewhere and get saved and get baptized. I'm going to have a relationship with Jesus where there'll be a lot of people who won't have a relationship with Jesus. Amen. This Christmas, they'll have the opportunity to tell somebody about Jesus. The platform is already laid. This is Caper Diem. This is the moment is here. The time, the season, it's giving season. Time for you to give your life to Christ. And it's time for you to receive new life. But there'll be so many who won't share their faith. It says that I know you not. It's the time for you to build a relationship. But so many people are going to let each Christmas go by. Christmas after Christmas after Christmas after Christmas. 2,000 Christmases have almost gone by. Here we are in 2 millennia of Christmases. And the truth of the matter is that those were 2,000 opportunities. Amen. To tell somebody that Jesus, God had already laid the platform. Let me get you on out of here. The truth is the platform has been laid, but message after message has been ignored and bombarded by the devil. If you think about Santa, I started to call him Satan because if you move the alphabets around, somebody is distracting, amen, us from the real Savior. Have we got a witness? They call him Santa. But if you move the alphabets around, you may find out that it's somebody been, amen, year after 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 year after